Our study is out of 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 12 through 20. Huldah, God's servant who confirmed an obedient man's reward. When God created the first woman, he made her to be a helpmeet for the first man in Genesis chapters 2, verses 20 to 23. Four women were prophetesses of the Lord whose ministries are also recorded in Scripture. And their ministries involve specific relationships with men, revealing God's idea of a woman's being a man's proper helpmeet. I believe that the role of a helpmeet is something that is a very natural thing. Obviously, the first, she was supposed to be a helpmeet to her husband. That's true. But women by nature are also helpmeets to men. And men lead women. Throughout Scripture, the women are not supposed to lead men, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, or to teach them. So the pattern of the relationship of a man and a woman in marriage, that pattern in general, is repeated amongst the genders. So we view each prophetess in her ministry to learn God's lessons on a woman's godly role as a helpmate. I'd like to read the passage, first of all, 2 Kings chapter 22, verses 12 through 20. And the king, whose name was Josiah, commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Micaiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Asahiah a servant of the king's, saying, Go, ye inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according to all that was written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went unto Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum the son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. That's actually the lower part in the southern part of Jerusalem. And they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Tell the man that sent you to me, Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring calamity upon this place, and upon the inhabitants thereof, and all, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place, and it shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you have humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and have rent your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered unto thy grave in peace. Your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I shall bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. All right. The prophetess Huldah lived in the reign of King Josiah in the second district of Jerusalem. This is the part of the lower city that's lower in elevation than the rest. It's down in the southern part of Jerusalem. When Josiah came to the throne, Judah was in dire spiritual straits. Josiah's grandfather, wicked King Manasseh, had figuratively filled Jerusalem with the shedding of very much innocent blood in the city as he committed much evil, especially in his early days, according to 2 Kings chapter 21, verse 16. So God had announced that he would commit the kingdom of Judah to being invaded and destroyed just because of Manasseh's wickedness. He predicted that in 2 Kings 21, 10 to 15. In other words, this man had done so much wrong. God says, all right, enough. We're going to have to overcome Jerusalem. We're going to have to allow Jerusalem to be invaded. Then Josiah's father, Manasseh's son, King Amon, had then come to the throne and ruled for just 2 years, following in the wickedness of the early days of his father Manasseh. And that's in 2 Kings chapter 21, verses 19 to 22. Accordingly, Ammon's servants conspired against him and slew him in his own house, and had led to an uprising. What had led to an uprising of the people against these servants? so that they in turn had killed Ammon's assassins and made his son Josiah king in Ammon's place. So, gaining the throne of a divinely doomed kingdom, following the reign of his wicked grandfather and evil father, coupled with the uprising of his father's servants and a civil reaction against those servants, Josiah began his reign with little hope from the human perspective that he would actually rule righteously. Now here's a young man, I think he was in his about 16 years of age at the time, he had two strikes against him, and had the grandfather was very wicked, the father was evil. He really didn't know anything about the word of the Lord. But nevertheless, Josiah did what he knew was right in the eyes of the Lord by trying to repair the temple in 2 Kings 22, 1-7. He knew that the temple belonged to God and it was in disrepair, so he said, let's repair it. That's the one good thing he knew how to do. He didn't know how to worship God or anything, but repair the temple. So, while the repairs were being performed, a copy of the Book of the Law, likely the Pentateuch, that's the first five books of Moses, was found in the temple. Manasseh or Ammon had likely destroyed other copies of the law, so that this find was an important one. And the book was brought to Josiah, and it was read to him. Although this was Josiah's first exposure to the law, the mere reading of its contents led him to tear his clothes in deep remorse and to command that five men, including the high priest Hilkiah, inquire of a prophet of the Lord as to what he should do, since the law declared great judgment on Judah for its sins. I always marvel at this. He had never had the law read to him, didn't know what it was. And at the first reading, and even though he's the king, and you know a lot of kings are proud and stuck up, the first reading of that, he was struck by the fact, wow, we're in trouble. And so he immediately sent five men to go and inquire of a prophet somewhere to find out what's going to happen, because judgment is on this place. We're going to get punished from the Lord unless we do something. Well, it's interesting that the prophet Jeremiah ministered at this time, along with probably Nahum and Habakkuk, so there were other prophets available. But the prophetess Huldah, who's the wife of Shallum, who is responsible for the royal or for the priestly wardrobe, was so highly regarded that these men sought her out for the word of the Lord. And so they went to see her. And she was, she lived down in the lower part of Jerusalem, probably where the poorer people lived. Huldah called Shallum's wife, in 2 Kings 22, verse 14, the word wife being Isha, is the same word that is used of Eve as the woman in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. Remember, Adam said, we must have some leaves that are, anyway. And Adam said, she shall be called Isha because she came out of Ish. Ish is the male of the man, Isha is the woman. Notably, when Huldah gave Josiah's men God's message in 2 Kings 22:15, she did not at first refer to him as a king, which is the Hebrew word melech, but as the man, the Ish, who had sent them to her. And that's the same word used by Adam of himself in Genesis chapter 2, verse 23. You'll notice that in verse 15. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man, tell the Ish, who sent you to, don't tell the Melech, tell the Ish. So, this is interesting. In other words, godly Huldah was aware of her biblical role as a helper to a godly man. And she proved to be a great help. This works as a tremendous example of what it means to be a help in the spiritual realm. Huldah announced to the king Josiah's messengers that God would truly severely punish Jerusalem for all the sins that the nation and its kings had committed against him. Verses 15 to 17. However, since Josiah had repented so fully and transparently at the judgment announced in the book of the law that had been read to him, God would allow Josiah to live in peaceful fellowship with the Lord before the Lord expressed his wrath on the land of Judah. God's promise was one of a peaceful life for Josiah because he fellowshiped with God, not a peaceful death, for he died in battle when he was fighting against Pharaoh Necho. We know that in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 23. But the Lord promised that he would have peace, and he knew it. What's interesting is that this Josiah, and this is after the Assyria had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they actually ruled that territory. He sent a bunch of men, and he went himself up into Assyrian territory, and he broke down the altars that were up there, fulfilling a 300-year-old prophecy about the destruction of the altar at Bethel. But the Assyrians didn't bother him. He was under the protection of the Lord, which is an amazing thing. But he was encouraged by this prophetess. So the lesson is, when God's servant, the prophetess Huldah, was sought for the word of God by good King Josiah's messengers, she viewed her proper role as that of being a helper as a woman of God to a man of God and announcing that he would be blessed in his life for his full and transparent submission to the Lord and to his word. So in application, may godly women encourage godly men who have a good heart before the Lord and who heed his word in fulfilling their role as women. Some of the greatest encouragements, I've been a pastor now for over four decades, and some of the greatest encouragements I've ever gotten have been from Christian women who have come to me and pastor, I appreciate you're doing this and that and so forth. And there's a special role that God has given. I'm sure some of these women are gifted with the gift of showing mercies or whatever. It's a special gift, but they have a way of really encouraging. And that's what this woman did. She said, yes, God's going to judge, but because you had the proper attitude and you responded to the word of God, you're going to see peace in your life. And then may godly men accept the efforts of godly women to encourage them. There's a place for godly women, and we men need to recognize that they have an important role to play in the body, and it's important for us to pay attention to this. I hadn't realized this before, but in verse 19 of 2 Kings 22, the Lord is speaking through Huldah, and he says, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants of thereof. Now, he didn't actually hear the word. What he did, he heard it read. But this demonstrates how the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And the word God-breathed means it has the authority as though God is breathing the words out over his vocal cords right now when you read it. So God expects us, when we read his word, to recognize that it carries the authority as though he's saying those words right now. Because that's what he said here. When you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I spoke against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and you've torn your clothes and wept before me, I also have heard you, saith the Lord. Boy, it shows us how important it is to pay attention when we're reading the word of God. From God's perspective, he's talking to us right now, and he wants us to pay attention. So that was, I just picked that up as I was going through this presentation tonight, but this is really priceless.